Thank you very much. We are now back in the full council meeting. We've already done roll call and general communications, so we're moving on to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on December 2nd. Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Next up on the agenda is public comment. Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes, during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comments shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of the speakers concluded in their allotted time, or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. I do want to give one last. Is anyone else that would like to be heard that did not sign up? Okay, we have five individuals this evening, four individuals that have signed up this evening. First up is James M. If we could just turn the microphone on it's on. Thank you.
My name is James Martin. I'm a taxpayer and a resident of Warwick, and I'd like to address the committee about the two new schools. I read about a month ago in the Beacon that the mayor suggested or said that the taxpayers just had one simple question to answer: do they want two new schools? And I thought that was about the most dishonest way anyone could have, you know, suggested that that's the way that vote went. Because I remember 2.5 years ago when there were signs all over the city, yes for kids, everywhere. And I remember that the taxpayers and the voters were led to believe that they were going to get two magnificent schools loaded with all kinds of amenities for the kids and for the teachers. And now, way over budget, it looks like it was just a classic bait and switch. The taxpayers expected two new Rolex watches, and you want to give them two Timexes for the same cost as the Rolexes. It's only common sense, you know, even what you have right now, they're still working on trying to cut out costs, but they're not going to be able to get it below the $350, which was originally promised. And the first thing they're going to have to cut out is the construction materials and the way they do the construction. I mean, that's the first thing. So we're going to have the cheapest possible materials in these buildings. You're going to end up with two buildings that are just barely adequate, just barely big enough to hold the students and the teachers, with hardly any amenities, nothing to speak of, certainly nothing to brag about. In fact, the amenities that are in the current schools are probably going to be better than what you have in the new schools. So I don't know who benefits from this. It's not the students. They're not going to benefit anything. They're going to lose out on athletic fields and even inside their schools. It's not the teachers. There's no benefit for them at all. The taxpayers, no benefit there. We're going to have to pay for it. That's going to be a burden, if anything. The only beneficiary here is the construction company. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And you know, another thing I read was that the mayor had suggested, or he said, he was quoted as saying, that ship has sailed when it came to talking about the building a centrally located high school, a single one, or refurbishing the ones we have. And I don't think there's anything wrong with refurbishing a building. You know, you look at Cranston East High School, it'll be over 100 years old next year. It's 100. It was built in 1925. That's been refurbished several times. They've put two new wings on it. Those students have everything they need. The school system in Cranston is very well liked. It's a good school system. You look at LaSalle Academy in Providence. It's over 150 years old. They have lots of land there. they've put several buildings up on their property over the last number of years. Never once did they determine that they should rip down their old school and put up a new one, because it's not cheaper to build new. That old school's been rebuilt, refurbished, and brought up to brand new standards multiple times over 150 years, and it's going to continue to be. And we should be doing the same thing here. You know, we have a centrally located school building, and that happens to be Warwick Vets. If you look at the population in our schools, it's been dwindling for 35 years. When Tollgate was built in the early 70s, we had about 20,000 students in Warwick. Today, there's 8,000. The last time we had 8,000 students, we only had one high school. It was Warwick Vets. That school has all kinds of amenities inside and out. They're aged, they're dated, no doubt about it. But the whole school could be redone. You could refurbish it, bring it up to new, bring all the amenities up to the latest, greatest stuff, fix the fields, bring them up, and you could probably do it for a lot less money than the two new schools. And I know there's an issue with traffic over there, but you know, right now the buses only come in from Westshore Road. There's no reason why you can't bring buses in from Sandy Lane also. And in fact, if that's not enough, you could stagger the classes. You could have the seniors and juniors come in a half hour or an hour earlier than the freshmen and the sophomores. And that would also relieve the traffic problem. And the school population is expected to continue to go down. Now, I know I've heard the argument that these new schools are going to bring people into the city. I think that's a foolish argument. It's ridiculous. If you're looking for, if you need a doctor, you don't go looking for a doctor and hire one or find one.
Thank you very much, sir.
Office is in a new building. Right, you find a doctor that's given his patients really
Sir, thank
care.
You very much. Your time is up. Thank
Sorry,
you.
What?
Your time is
time
up.
Time is up.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good evening. The next speaker is Richard L.
Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm Road in Warwick. You know, the previous speaker really enlightened me. I hadn't thought about it. Hey, make Vets the high school. What the heck? I mean, it's a good high school. Now it's a middle school. There's no reason why we can't move students around between middle schools and high schools. Well, why do we think that Tollgate has to be a high school? Tollgate could be a middle school. Vets could be a high school. We have $350 million to do something with. Sure, the state may be requiring, oh, you have to build a new school with that. But the state is so screwed up, they can't even keep their Social Security numbers private. I mean, this state is absolutely pathetic. And I've been here 50 years, and I've never seen a mess like this. This is just awful. And the city of Warwick has a lot of bright people on the city council. And Donna, I really want to congratulate you for your 30 years and your help with me. That was, you know, we've been fighting to get Buttonwoods public for 25 years. And I don't know why the people are so afraid of these few 160 people in the Buttonwoods Fire District. Oh, you can't upset those people. Well, hell, we have 80,000 people in Warwick. And you know what? It's changing radically because of we're in the Boston area now, guys. People from Boston are moving into Warwick with kids. They need a new school because they expect decent education. They really do. But it doesn't have to be so rigid. And I really congratulate this gentleman for his idea. I think it's quite a good one. And we really, as the new city council moves forward, we really should look at that. Because you can't spend more than $350 million. You don't have authorization. So take the $350 million and figure out what to do with it. And tell the school committee to, you know, go pound sand. We don't need an independent school committee that's just bleeding us dry. We need a school committee that's a committee that advises the people of Warwick. on how to run everything. This idea of an independent school committee that you can't upset is absurd. You got me worked up. You know, you really do. And I came here to talk about the Buttonwoods Fire District and why it's public and not private and all that. But you've heard this story endlessly from me and from a lot of other people. But boy, I'll tell you, you know, maybe we can get this school thing straightened out. Put it into vets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Rob C.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I'd like to congratulate the new incoming council members. I wish you all the best. I hope that you do things differently than what I've done from the previous council members. That being, listen to your constituents, spend some time, look in the books, study the subject matter, answer your phone. There's been a lot that's come before this council from people that know much more about the subject matter that comes before the council than the council members. I do have some concerns, I have to be honest, because I've never seen any of the new council members before in a council meeting or to take the microphone. But I can assure you that myself and other people that are pretty well versed in the city business are more than happy to spend as much time as you need to get you caught up to speed or to help you navigate through the complex issues of the city of Warwick. And we are facing some serious complex issues, schools just being one of them. You know, I had some prepared statements for the four people that are leaving because, frankly, I don't like you people. You have not served the city in the best interest of the residents. Not at all. When I look around, you four people were very instrumental in making changes in the council to limit the public's voice, to limit our ability to come before you and speak, whether it's in budget hearings, committee hearings, and contract hearings. That's wrong. And I'm hoping that the new council president and that the new council members reverse those archaic rules that were put in place to simply shut the voices of the people down. There's a lot of people in this community that bring a lot to the table with their experience. I don't need to mention their names, but they've been ignored for a long time. And I, being one of them, we've told you ahead of time, like we had a crystal ball. We've told you what would happen with contracts. You didn't listen. We told you what would happen with unsustainable health care benefits. You didn't listen. I came before this council 8 years ago, told you how we build schools. Number of students times 200 square feet per student times $350 a square foot. You guys remember that? Certain individual mocked me that night using disparaged language that I didn't know what I was talking about. Guess what, Ms. Travis? The only difference is now it's $800 a square foot, and we can't afford. And you people have done nothing. And, you know, all the pomp and circumstances, you know, backslapping each other, congratulating each other for all your great work. Your great work can be summed up on one line of the budget. Mr. McAllister, you should know it. You should be intimately familiar with it. It's the one line in the budget, which is the total cost of operating the city. And on your time here, it's gone up $80 million. You've never answered one question about finances, contracts, negotiations, or benefits. Mr. Howell, the same way. You people have contributed to the demise of this city. It cannot continue to go this way. We're facing $1 billion of unfunded liabilities. And you guys, Mr. Howe's laughing, right? Probably texting. But, I mean, the good news is now that Mr. Howe won't be on the council, he'll have plenty of time to spend some time to get his math students to a proficiency level of more than 7.4%. I don't know if any of you have the mathematical capabilities to look in the future.
1 minute, Mr. Cody.
And see where we're going financially. And trust me, I've looked at all your financial backgrounds. I've done background checks on all of you. I'm not impressed with most of you, the way you manage your personal assets. And look where we are. You can laugh all you want, Steve. You have been an abysmal failure as a council president, as a councilman. And I have to apologize for the residents of Ward 7 because 8 years ago, I supported you. I wrote letters on your behalf. I took 12 people to vote for you that had no intentions of voting, and you won by 4 votes. And since that day, you've never answered a phone call, a text message, or an email. And you've never answered a question on finances. That needs to change for Warwick to be sustainable. And I know, Ms. Travis, you'll miss me in the future. You miss my comments. But the good news is I'm going to see you in court. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Mike Z. Go ahead, Mrs. Arum.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the City Council, members of the public who are here tonight. It's Mike Zarum from resident in Ward 2. Thank you, Jeremy. I don't know what to say tonight, but tonight's a transition night. I do want to thank Mr. Cody for his diligence in bringing attention to a lot of the problems in this city that don't get addressed and solutions and everything. And I do want to follow up on what Mr. Cody said, that a lot of people come up to this microphone or reach out to our legislative body to try and make Warwick a better place. And there are many, many constituents in this city that feel like their voices are not heard. And I want to pick up on one other point that Mr. Cody said, that there are a lot of residents who are so-called subject matter experts, whether it be the school system, whether it be the watersheds we have, whether it be finance and the bonds that are being floated at interest rates when the Federal Open Markets Committee is going to meet Wednesday of this week to change rates again. I cannot think of anything more important for this legislative body than to listen to people in this community that want to make this a better place and have subject matter expertise and want to share that with all of you to make this a better place and make the city more efficient. I don't know what else to say other than, with being a transition night tonight, I want to thank everybody that's before us tonight, except Mr. Howe, and I'm going to explain why in a minute, but I want to thank everybody for all the work you've done. Those who are tonight's your last night, I wish you a good future and hope you enjoy your time from being here in a very, very stressful position. Now, by selecting Mr. Howell to single him out, the reason I'm doing that, I would give him an award and call him Terrible Tim for the one that listens least than anybody. I understand the spats that you mentioned with Mr. Lattiser, who I want to congratulate for his due diligence. And taking a deeper look at the financial figures is something that we need. A couple meetings ago at the open mic, I mentioned that the people on Strawberry Field West were promised by the Airport Corporation to have a noise berm built all the way down Strawberry Field Road from Field Route Drive to where the cell lot used to be. And then finding out that the Airport Corporation was not going to build it. So what do we question? Why did the city council give city streets and a public way to the airport, thinking in exchange they're going to get a berm for the people, and find out they're not going to get it? Well, we can ask Mr. Howe when he leaves the city council to ponder this, because I did go back, like I said I was going to do, and try and find out what went wrong. I went back and I looked at all the drawings that the Airport Corporation had submitted to the city that were very hard to read. I blew them up to what's called a D-size engineering drawing, so I could see the detail. The ones that were submitted to the city, and Mr. Howe should have known this, did not go all the way down to the end of Strawberry Field Road as the people were promised. I drove out there with a few people last night to see where it was, what number on Strawberry Field West this earthen berm is going to. And looking at it through my thinking like an engineer, the way Iftikhar Ahmad, head of CEO of RIAC, would look at it, it looks like the mayor told everybody that the trucks to access that were not going to go down Strawberry Field Road. And it looks to me like where they're not going to build a berm is the perfect access point for all the tractor trailers for FedEx to that, get to that new facility for the cheapest cost. Right where the residents were promised it wouldn't happen. That's what I see on the drawing board. Anybody that wants to see these drawings, I've had them blown up. I've had them mounted on foam core. so that I will be presenting at future meetings. And with that, I would just ask that the new people coming in...
One minute, Mr. Langseth.
Thank you. I would ask that all the new people coming in work with people in the community who are knowledge holders to make work a better place. When we set a goal, let's make sure that we reach it and that things don't happen to get things off the railroad track and do what's best for the residents that live here. Thank you, and best of luck to all those who are leaving, and welcome to everybody coming in. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 120-24, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2025-274, 2025-287, 2025-276, 2025-313, 2025-289, 2025-326, 2025-270, 2024-271, Bravo, 2025-325, 2025-311, 2025-328, and 2025-312. That concludes the bid package, Mr. President.
Thank you, Chairman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in Finance Committee? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
I apologize. Mr. Howe, yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes, consent passes.
Thank you. Consent passes. I believe one item was removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. Formerly bid 2024-322 City Hall Plaza Site Improvements is now PCR 121-24. Committee voted favorable, recommended favorable action.
Okay, for action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. Any questions or comments on what is now PCR 124-24? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a lot of discussion, as you know, about this in committee. I will not be supporting this item. I understand the reasoning for extending the up-to expense of the $200,000, which is to avoid the possibility of turning this into a Davis-Bacon Act requiring prevailing wages. And I agree that that would increase the cost of this project significantly. As you know, I voted against this project in the beginning, and I am still not a supporter of it for numerous reasons. First of all, I don't think that the timing is correct, given the unknown financial situations that we'll be facing in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, and perhaps even longer. We have two high schools that potentially will be built, and they are out of control with excessive cuts and the possibility of an additional $38 million increase. We have healthcare costs that are through the roof. They are now somewhere in the vicinity of $25,000 per family. We have contracts that we we'll have to pay for, we'll have to fund. We have pensions that are going to increase in comparison or in addition to those salaries. We still have a large amount of vehicles that are needed in sanitation. We just saw that recently where we only had, I believe it was 7 of the 14 vehicles on the road. And that's in spite of the administration pouring millions and millions and millions of dollars into the equipment, which obviously was the right thing to do. So I understand the business reason for looking to increase the spending authority by $200,000. However, I feel that the timing is off for entertaining an $8 million expenditure that we don't know how and if we're going to be able to support in perpetuity. So I will be voting no on this item. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Eight yes, one no, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. We're now moving to new business. First up is PCR 119-24, Committee Report, Intergovernmental.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
For action, Councilman McElroy.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
Second by Councilman Howe. Okay, any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. Unanimous consent, Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8? Ward 9?
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis?
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving the docket session,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in the docket session. I have 12 items to docket this evening. No, just kidding. Ward 7 has nothing to docket at this time. Ward 1, anything to docket? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 8?
3.
Go ahead.
Omnibus resolution, congratulations and condolences.
Ominous resolution of congratulations and condolences. Community affairs.
Omnibus resolution for traffic studies.
Ominous resolution for traffic studies. Public safety.
And then adoption of the council rules for the 2025-2026 term.
Adoption of the council rules for the 2025 and 2026 council term. Intergovernmental. Ward 9.
I have one. Resolution to the Department of Public Works of Warwick and the town manager of East Greenwich to address the sinkhole at the intersection of Division Street and Love Lane.
Intergovernmental. And there is no more business before the city council. I thank you all. It's been an honor.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everybody.